All right, we're going to go back to the year 2013, President's Day weekend. I was a young 26-year-old. My husband at the time, 2 weeks before, right before Valentine's Day, told me that he filed divorce. I was an unfit mother. He was going to take the kids. Not the best experience, of course. So President's Day weekend, I took them down to my parents' house, my kids, and got a call on Sunday that something was going on at my house. It looked like I was moving, who knows. And he decided I had abandoned him and he was gonna have to rent out the house because he could not afford the mortgage. And I had nowhere to go. He packed all of our stuff into a storage unit. So between my parents and my religious leaders at the time, we talked. My parents lived about an hour and a half from the airport where I was working at the time, so I couldn't keep my job and move in with them. It's not good to start single motherhood with no job. So I ended up going to a battered women's shelter. It's interesting. You go in and they interview you, and they ask you all the questions. Now, I didn't consider myself a victim. I didn't consider myself abused. I didn't have a good marriage, but it wasn't all bad. So they ask you the questions. Does he hit you? Luckily, no. I was not physically abused. But then they went through the other questions, and the answers were, well, yeah, but he doesn't mean it, or, well, yeah, but that's not abuse, or, well, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. So they let me in. I stayed there about a month and a half. So I worked massage at the airport. My schedule was 6 a.m. to 2:30. I had a 3-, 4-, and 6-year-old boys. So the story was I was in the shelter. I'd have to get up at 4 a.m. to take them to a babysitter. The shelter had childcare, but it didn't start at 5 a.m. I had two friends step up. One was in North Salt Lake. One was in Taylorsville. So I would get these three little boys up at 4 a.m., drive them to a babysitter to get to the airport to start by 6. If you've ever worked at the airport, that involves parking and employee parking, taking them to the bus to the airport, going through airport security. To say it was a stressful time is a bit of an understatement. So during that time, I was very, very stressed. I had my ex was just on the rampage. At one point, he hacked into my Facebook account and like posted mean things about my friend as if he was me. Like, I did not feel great about myself. But I got to go to work and do massage where I had the physical touch. I got people just telling me how awesome I was all day. So I had a client come in. She was from LA. She was doing a 30-minute foot massage and we got talking. She had the best energy I've ever felt. Just happy energy. And I told her, I'm like, I'm really good at boundaries and not like taking people's energy, but I'm gonna just take all I can from you because this is freaking awesome. And so she started telling me some of her story. I told her a little bit about what I was going through and how much I appreciated her energy. And she had just finished a very long battle with cancer. And she, like, not the, like, I have a mole on my face. Like, it was like all the radiation and chemo and losing her hair. And she went into a really, really dark place and asked that question you always ask, why me? Why do I have to do this? Like, why do I have cancer? Where, why did my husband leave me? Why am I alone? And then she told me she was sitting and she looked around at her beautiful children, her beautiful family. She had a husband that supported her. She could afford to battle cancer, which a lot of people can't. And so she realized, why not me? Why not her? Like, somebody's gonna get cancer. My friend, her 6-year-old daughter had a grapefruit sized tumor on her kidney. People get cancer, it just happens. So why not her when she could fight it and she could handle it? Why not? And so I loved that idea of flipping the negative, why me? Why am I going through this, into a positive? Why not? So I did that with my life. Why not me? Why, like, half of marriages end in divorce. Why not mine? Like, I'm strong. I'm really tough. I could handle it. Why not me? And then we flip it back. Why me? Well, I was in a bad marriage. I needed to be out of it. Now it's how many years later, and I'm in such a better place. So why me? Because I'm tough, and I can handle it, and I can talk about it, and I can relate to people now. I'm able to relate to anyone. Why me? Well, because I had three boys who needed their mom to be strong and to be able to take care of them. Then a couple weeks later, I had a younger coworker who was very high anxiety. And she told me one day, she said, "You know, Bridget, I love working with you." She said, "Anything that's going on in my life, I know that you had it so much worse." She said, "I know that anything I can go through can't be near what you go through." And then you come to work and you smile and you laugh, and it's just so inspiring to see that. And she thanked me for everything I had gone through and that I could be there to be an example to her. And I love to be able to be an example to people. I've been through a lot, even more since then. I was in the shelter for, ended up being a month and a half. And then I was able to get into an apartment through the road home, through a program called Rapid Rehousing, where they help homeless people get into homes. And I moved into my sister's in-law's basement. And I was still just working a million hours. My divorce finally went through. We negotiated half 50-50 custody. And then about a week after we signed all the papers, he moved to North Dakota. I was getting like $300 a month child care, or what do they call it, child for, yeah. Not fun. But I had a place to live. The first time I paid my own rent, because the rapid rehousing ended up paying like 5 months. I was 2 weeks, over a month late, I want to say. Like, it was very late, and I handed my rent to my landlord, and she said, "You're a rock star. Look at you paying your own rent." And I'm like sitting here like, this rent is a month late. Like, I'm not a rock star. But it's just amazing that I can have that. So I wrote a poem. I went through therapy, and I was, we talked about vulnerability. Does everyone like to be vulnerable? No, I do. I actually do. As you can see, I'm doing a 1 to 30, so clearly I'm fine with that. So I wrote this poem about vulnerability that I'd like to share. Oh, disclaimer, I used to be super fat. I lost like 150 pounds a few years ago. So when I refer to that in the poem, I really was super fat when I wrote this. Anyway, I face the mirror and gaze into striking blue eyes. The rest of me is a shapeless mass of flesh stuffed in too tight clothes. I know how it looks, but this is how I feel comfortable, how I feel beautiful. I peel off all I can see and paste it on the cover of the book of me. You can see my eyes, my fat, my face, my hair, the things I love and the things I hate, all out in the open and the first things you'll see. The next layer is defeated exhaustion. I peel it away from the first page and find there is far too much. The tired uses page 1 through 10, going on and on in a terrible fog. The only light to endless days, the nothingness of sleep between. Looking back in the mirror, I'm shocked by how much is left. Peeking out is a small ray of hope. I cling to it, making pages 11 and 12. And that page, after that page, I look for more and find a layer of kindness, of forgiveness, giving, and love. They make up an astounding 5 pages each, making my page count a shocking 32. With forgiveness gone, I find the hurt, buried deep where I thought to be lost, a scar for every time I felt worthless, and marks for when I was kicked when down. I rip it out as a ball and wind up for the throw. I don't want to share this, but then my book will not be complete. Gluing it in makes the pages bent and bowed, damaged page upon damaged page, is what you get when reading my book. Going in page after page, I see light in between. A harsh word and thought here, followed by a moment of beauty. These experiences bring my book to a full 100 pages. Blotches and splotches and pieces of crazy. A rip in page 60, a dog-eared corner of 92. The mirror calls me one last time. All the layers have been peeled off to reveal a deep core. I'm almost blinded by the light. The star is so bright and strong, I can only flake pieces off to sprinkle over the pages, making the hope brighter and even the ugly a little beautiful. Now I hold the large volume, my whole self bare for anyone to read. I place it on a shelf in the library of life to share with my loves, to comfort my hates, so I can truly know who I am and see myself in the eyes of the world. So, thanks. So I've been thinking about starting a podcast for a while and possibly writing an autobiography. So this is the introduction to my podcast. I brought my brother here to record the first episode live, and that's why I'm so nervous. So that should be posted within the next day or two. I don't know if that is maybe a new business or not, but I want to share who I am. I have a million stories. I'm just going to share stories of my life because I have had a terrible life, but I love it. And I'm able to really see the happiness in the struggles and the hard parts.